Protect your thoughts, right? Toxic influences is what we're talking about today. And some of you sitting here may say, you know what? I don't know. It's not that big a deal, is it? It's a huge deal. Let's pray. Lord, lead us and guide us and direct us. May the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord. Amen. Before we get started, I want to share a little something with you. See this Bible? Some of you that were there Wednesday night got to see this Bible for the first time. And this is the Bible my brother gave me when I was in 10th grade. And I had never really read the Bible to that point. And I started reading it a little bit. But when I was in my sophomore year in college, I happened to have brought this Bible to me. Well, to me. I happened to bring this Bible to school with me. And as I was in school, I ended up walking by this Bible every day. I had it on my desk. And one day in particular, I opened it up and I read it for the first time. Like really read the Bible. Sat there and read it for hours. And it impacted my life. And there's more to that story. I don't know if you want me to share the rest. Some said yes, some said no. I won't share the rest. It'll keep you hanging. Oh, that'll encourage you to come Wednesday night. See you there. Well, we're talking about toxic influences. And toxic influences are all around us. And they have effect on our lives whether we know it or not. And the thing is that oftentimes we don't even realize that some things around us are influencing us for the negative, and we don't even process it. And it has profound effect on our spiritual journey and where we're going and how we advance or decline in faith. And we need to do a reality check as a people and say, all right, what's happening with my life? And what direction am I actually going? There's movies all over the place, right? We can go see this or that movie. We can rent movies. We can download them. We can put them on Netflix and just click and just have hundreds of movies at our disposal, right? Would you agree with that? They're everywhere. We can even get free ones at the library and watch them at home. And some of you, I enjoy a good movie, but some of you sitting in here, you may go, well, you know what? I don't know. I don't know about... What's a big deal about movies? What's a big deal about this? What's a big deal about that? Yet, I want to share about this one movie. And this, I can use 100 different movies to share this point. And some of you have probably seen this particular movie, and it's an older movie, and they came out with a Hangover 2 already. This movie's called Hangover. And by the title, you're like, why is he talking about that in church? Well, we are the church, we're the body, we're the community. And some of us sitting here have seen that movie. I won't say, who's seen that movie? Because some of you will be like, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you because something's going to happen, right? Well, some of you have seen the movie Hangover. I want to share some things about Hangover with you. I haven't seen the movie myself, but it has 91 different versions of the F-bomb. 91 different versions of the F-bomb. If you don't want to know what the F-bomb is, I'm not going to say it. There's 41 S-words, 9 slang terms for the male private parts, there's 2 for the female, and 13 hells, 14 A-words, there's 31 different versions of God's name in vain, 31 different versions of God's name in vain. And we sit here and we go, but it's a funny movie. It's really funny. And there's, they say God, they say Jesus, they say GD, 31 different times. It doesn't include all the different sexual innuendos and the other things that go on in the movie. And the sex that happens in the movie. How many of you didn't see Hangover? You don't have to say. But if you saw it, I don't want you to feel judged or condemned or like, oh my gosh, I'm going to burn right in my spot right here. Ah! Because that's not what I'm doing. This isn't about legalism. It's not about I'm better than this person because I didn't see that or I didn't do that or I didn't do, you know, it's not about that. It's about us coming to this place where we're able to allow the Spirit to help us understand what we should and shouldn't do. It's not about I'm better, I do this and I do that, but I don't do that and I, you know, it's not about that. It's about how's the Spirit leading me today? Lord, what do you want me to do? I wonder if we actually lived our lives praying like this. Lord, what is it you want me to do with my life today? Lead me, guide me, direct me. Allow your Spirit to infuse me with wisdom. If you didn't see the movie, I don't want you to feel like the biggest loser, just sitting there like, oh man, this stinks. But I want you to think about this. What's interesting about movies and things is a lot of people that have seen that movie and I've talked to, you know what they said? They said, I didn't realize that movie had that stuff in it. I had no idea. Because we become desensitized. We live in a society, you know what it does? We see this, and we even get desensitized to horrific things that happen all over the world because of news. Have you ever thought about that? Or just change the channel like it's nothing. But there are some crazy things going on in the world that we need to be in serious prayer for people. And we need to have compassion like we've never had before. That's another message that I'll preach some other time. How many of you have ever seen mixed martial arts or ultimate fighting or, do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. MMA? When the guys just beat each other down, silly and senseless? Well, I remember the first time I saw that, I was pretty disgusted by it. But I was at someone's house, a friend of mine, and he had this mixed martial arts book upstairs. And I was looking at him like, this stuff's crazy. And I watched it with him. And I was like, this is nuts, man. These people are like trying to kill each other. And then as I watched a little more of it, I said, hey, I can kind of watch this. This is kind of wild, man. Look at them. They're just beating each other down. This is crazy. And I kind of got into it a little bit. But then I backed up and I said, what am I doing? I started to get desensitized to the reality of it. Some of you really like it. Some of you are into mixed martial arts. For me, personally, I came to this place where I said, you know what? I don't want to watch this stuff anymore because it's starting to do something to me. It's starting to kind of like make me think things I don't want to think. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to beat people down. That's not what I'm saying. Who's laughing at me? You think I did, didn't you? Yeah. But there's some things that, you know, we need a sense that, you know, should I do this? Should I not do this? Now, there's this definition of toxic. And some of you right now are so shut off because you watched Hangover. And you're like, I can't believe he said that. I can't believe. I'm so turned off by this message already. And you don't want to even listen anymore. You shut down. But I want you to hear this definition of toxic. And we're talking about toxic influence, but this is the definition of toxic. Toxic is anything containing poisonous material capable of causing sickness or even death. Poisonous material causing sickness or even death. That's what a toxic is. And a lot of us are walking around with a sickness of our soul. And we're going, man, what's going on with me? I don't know how to deal with this stuff anymore. And there's some explanation for it. And I have so much I want to share today, but I want to share this particular passage with you. I have a few others. But look at what this passage says. This comes from Proverbs 25:26. And it says, like a muddied spring or a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way to the wicked. And you can substitute woman in there too, right? Because like a muddied spring or a polluted well It is a righteous person who gives way to the wicked. Now, some of us have muddied springs. Our springs are all muddied, and that means us. We're all muddied or polluted. And when we have a polluted well or muddied water, I don't know if you've ever been to a third world country, but I was down in Mexico one time. And in Mexico, these people that lived in this village, that they lived in just these tiny tin shacks with their family, and they would, in the desert, and they're just, you would say they're just junky. Now, like we would say, how could anyone live there? They're super thin, made with whatever they could find on the streets. And what I discovered was I kept watching people go down to the little stream that ran. It was like this river that ran, and it was all green and brown, and it was a strange color. And I saw people throwing buckets in and pulling the string in and carrying the buckets back to their homes. And I'm going, what are they doing? And what I discovered that they were taking it home and using it to cook things and drink water and try to get sustenance. And you know what that stream was? Sewerage. I don't know if you know this, but clean water not having clean water causes the death of thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people every year. Things like diarrhea, things that can be treated. And what are we as a faith-based Christian community, people that say we follow Christ, what are we doing about it? That's another sermon too. But I'll tell you, what we did in that particular community, there was this tiny, tiny church building, and the following year when we went back, we found someone that knew how to dig a well and find where there's water running underground. And we dug a well, and it happened to be, this is amazing, it happened to be right on the church property. And we drilled a hole and put a well there, and the people in the community were able to get fresh water. Do you know what a difference fresh water makes? Rather than muddied springs or polluted wells? Do you know what a difference the Spirit makes in pureness and righteousness makes in our inner being, our soul? You remember, we have a body, but we are a soul with a body. We're not a body with a soul. So imagine if we actually discovered purity in our inner soul, that we discovered that purity and that cleansing. What would that look like in our lives? What kind of person would we be, and who would we become? A righteous man who gives way to the wicked. If we're following God, we're made right due to Christ's death and resurrection. So we want to be righteous. Righteous means being right with God. Don't you want to be right with God? You want to be right with God. And if we're right with God, it's pretty amazing. There are three things that we need to do to remember when it comes to potentially toxic influences. First thing is this. A little bit of poison goes a long way. There was this mom, and her son came to her. He said, "Hey, mom, I want to go see some movies with my friends. A movie with my friends." And the mother said this to the son. "All right, that's great. What movie do you want to go see?" And he said, "Well, it's this movie, and it's PG-13. And mom, I'm 14, so I can see it." And the mom said to the son, "Well, tell me about the movie. What did you learn about the movie? Tell me some details." He said, "Well, mom, there's a little bit of pornography." I said pornography, I'm sorry. "There's a little bit of sexual innuendos. There's a little bit of cursing. There's a little bit of this and that. You know, there's a little bit of this, a little bit of that." And the mother said, "All right, yeah, you can go see the movie. As long as, you know, there's only a little bit, right?" So his mother said this. She said, "You know what? since you're such a great son, I am going to bake you some brownies. And you can take them with you to the movie. And she goes outside and goes to the backyard. And she scoops up some dog poop. Yeah, some poopy from the ground. And she takes it to the house. Yeah, some of you are like, oh, I can't believe you said poop. That's gross. But scoops it up and brings it back into the house. And as she was making the brownies, she put a little bit of poop in the brownie. And she mixed it up and stirred it up, baked it in the oven, and she took it out and cut up the brownies. And what ended up happening is, she said, all right, son, your brownies are made. Come and get your brownies. And she said, but wait a minute. Before you eat the brownies, I've got to tell you this. I put a little bit of poop in the brownies. Just a little bit of poop. And he's like, whoa. What's going on here? This is weird. This is bizarre. This is deranged. What, Mom, what are you talking about? The brownies are fine. I just put a little bit of poop in the brownie. And the son's going, whoa. And some of us are living our lives, and we have a little bit of poop, but it's okay, right? A little bit of mess, a little bit of disgusting stuff. And we're like, that's not too bad. It's not that bad, is it? But look, a little bit of poison goes a long way. Would anyone in here eat a brownie with waste in it? Anyone? No one? I'm not really surprised by that. But what we do, though, we ingest things into our soul. This is a body. This body is deteriorating. But our souls should be growing and discovering God more profoundly. Yet we start deteriorating our souls because of what comes into our souls. And what's frightening is a lot of times some of us are really into working out or whatever it is, or really into eating, or really into, you know, we can go different extremes. We either really want to maintain our body, or we don't maintain our body at all, or some of us kind of maintain our body, and then others of us just say, it doesn't matter. I'm going to die anyway. But it's not like that. It's about our soul. A little bit of poison goes a long way. Your boasting is good. This comes from 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 7. Before we read it, I want you to know what yeast represents in the scriptures. Oftentimes, yeast represents sin. So imagine this is talking about sin in regard to yeast. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast, that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. There is this powerful and profound thing that has happened for you and for me, for us. I don't know that we actually live and grab hold of what our life's actually about and what's happened for us and how we should live and how we should be made different and new. The Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Jesus is the Passover, the ultimate Passover lamb. He has died for me and for you, and he has set us free from the bondage of, we can say yeast right here, right? Because yeast is sin. From sin. Second thing is this. Just because everyone does it doesn't make it right. Yeah, I sound like your mother. I should have said it like my mother said it to me. What I found is most of the time, she's not here, so I will say, most of the time she was right. Well, you shouldn't do that. Just because everybody else does it doesn't mean you should do it. The majority, just because there's a majority of people that desire to do something or think something doesn't mean it's right. Did you know in Numbers, the spies went to look at the potential spot where they should go? Did you know 10 of them, there were 12 that went out, 10 of them came in to the, and they said this, they said, you know what? It's a nice land. It's a beautiful land. It's an abundant land. But you know what? It has giants there. And they're big, and they're huge, and they're nasty. And I don't want to deal with those guys. And I don't think we should either. But two of them, two out of the 12, you know what they did? They came in, and they said, the land is flowing with milk and honey. And I want to share this, that this land is so abundant, and God wants us to have it. It's a good thing they listened to the two, right? Rather than the 10. Sometimes, a lot of times actually, the majority isn't right. Look at this passage in Romans. I shared this passage. This is one of my favorite passages of all time in the scriptures because it's so powerful. But this is the message paraphrase. It's more of a devotional. It's not a direct translation from the Greek. So this is what it says. Do not become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Don't get so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. I think some of us have become so well adjusted, yet the scriptures are pretty darn clear when they say, live in the world, not of the world. So obviously we live in the world, right? That's kind of blatantly obvious. But live in the world, not of the world. We're to be here and be present and have impact. And I want to share this. We are to be the cultural impactors. No one got that? We are to have impact on our culture. Often the culture has impact on the church. The church is the community of faith, the body of believers. Just because I could doesn't mean I should. Right? Just because, like, I can do it, because I want to tell you this. There is incredible freedom in Christ. There is abundant, profound freedom in Christ. There's a passage that says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? One person said freedom. I'm going to say it again. When I stop talking, you say freedom as loud as you can. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
That was as loud as you can. Oh, man. I'm going to do it one more time. Can you help me out? Some of you are like, this is very uncomfortable. I don't like to say freedom. All right. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
Woo! That was good. That was good. I like that. I like that. That was really good. So just because I could doesn't mean I should. And just because I could, yeah, I can do this. I can do that. But doesn't mean I should do it. What is something in your life that you could do, but you shouldn't do? We have tremendous freedom in Christ. We need to grasp hold of that freedom and live in that freedom and live in its abundance. Here's a passage, but before I share it, I want to share a couple other things. Could I eat all the junk food I want, my whole life, and be a Christian, and be a devout Christian? You know, yes, I could, but is it the right thing to do? No. Could I go into massive debt and keep spending on my credit card when I don't have any money, and I'm trying to impress people that I don't know? And some of you are going, oh man, he knows me. How does he know this about me? I never told him about this. Should we do that? Can we do that and still be a follower of Christ? Yes, we can. But should we? Could I read Cosmo 43 ways to drive my boyfriend wild in bed and still be a Christian? You know, yes, I can, But is it good for me? Some of you are like, I'm not going to answer that one. Why do you say that? You're like, stop there, Colby. Just stop. But how about some of you fellas? How about GQ? Should I look at the pictures that are in GQ magazine and be driven by what I see and what I read? And should I do that? Is that good? No. Remember, this isn't about legalism. This is about discovering the abundance that God has for us. And I know I have talked to some people that profess Christ, and they don't have a problem going into a strip club. All right? And I've talked to people that profess Christ, and they don't have a problem with their husband looking at porn on the internet. And some of you sitting here may say, there's nothing wrong with my boyfriend, my husband looking at porn. It doesn't affect me. Let me tell you this, it affects you whether you know it or not. Because what ends up happening to men, women, I want to tell you this, what ends up happening to men is they begin to look at you differently. And they expect things that you don't even understand. Men's, our minds are kind of messed up. You women are laughing very loud right now. You're like, that's true. In more ways than you know. But what happens when we ingest this poison? The toxic goes into our soul and it hinders us from all that God has for us. Yes, there's freedom. And yes, we can speed on our way to church and still be a Christian, right? But is it the right thing to do? I had an argument with my mother one time. She's like, you're going too fast. And I'm like, hold up, Mom. I'm in the car and I'm driving too fast. And I said, Mom, do you ever speed? And she's like, I only go 5 miles per hour over the speed limit. And I said, yes, but you're still speeding. And she's like, but you're speeding too fast. And I said, okay, I get what you're saying. I'm going to slow down. But Mom, you're right. We shouldn't speed. I agree with you. But this is Lenny Ledfoot sitting here, right? And that's an area, right? But we should abide by the law, right? The scriptures, you know, submit to the law, the ruling and the government authorities over you. Some of us don't like the word submit. And some of us would say, I'll never submit to the governing authorities over me because they're wrong in this and this and that and this and this. Well, Jesus did. Another passage that we don't really like, and I'm going to get off topic and I'm going to stop. I'm not going there. I was just going to talk about submission, but I won't go there because my message will be too long and I'll see too many people falling asleep. Just because I could doesn't mean I should. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Some of us need to memorize this passage of Scripture. I'm going to tell you this. Some of you would say, I can't memorize Scripture. My kids memorize it all the time. And you'll say, well, they have young minds. They have young minds. My mind is getting too old. I'm too forgetful. I can't. You know what? If we start thinking with that mentality, you know what happens? We're dying in our soul. Some people may say, I can't minister anymore. I've ministered my whole life. I can't do it anymore. I want to say this to you. God's not done with you yet. Why aren't you smiling right now? Who's going to throw something at me? God's not done with you yet. If you're still here, whatever it is going on with you from a physical perspective, you can still pray. You know what else? You can still have impact on people. God can still move in your heart and in your mind and allow you to become much more than you are right now. You know how beautiful that is? You know how amazing that is? God's not done with you yet. It doesn't matter if you're one. It doesn't matter if you're, how many months old is your baby? 3 months. It doesn't matter if you're 3 months. It doesn't matter if you're 300 years old. It doesn't matter if you're 948 years old. I don't care if your name's Methuselah or whatever it is. Some of you got that, some of you didn't. Methuselah, the oldest person in the scriptures that we read about. Does anyone know how old Methuselah was? Well, preacher brother, get up here. Get up here. There you go. So, some of us would instantly say, that's impossible. All things are possible through Christ who gives us strength. Did you know you are capable of doing significantly more than you think? Did you know that? Did you know that God can infuse you with the power of His Spirit and you can discern things and you can have abundant wisdom like you've never had before? Did you know that? Did you know if you follow after God and you truly seek Him, you'll find Him when you seek Him with all your heart. He'll be found by you. Did you know that you are beautiful in God's eyes? Did you know you are a person that is sitting here or standing here that God has deep compassion and love for? Did you know that? Some of us have never really experienced unconditional love in profound ways in our life. Did you know God has this abundant, unconditional love for you? And did you know that everything is permissible for me? Did you know that? In Christ, everything is permissible. But is everything beneficial? Oh, we just agreed that it wasn't, right? Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. We will not be mastered by anything. I'm going to say that again. We will not be mastered by anything. No amen to that? Give me something, please. Here are some things. These are kind of more tangible ways to test. Like, well, how do I know if something's good or bad? Or like, I should do it or shouldn't do it. Some of us say, well, if my conscience says it's okay, then it's okay. And if my conscience doesn't. But did you know we can lie to our conscience? Do you know that? Have you ever done that? I know I've done it way too many times. Test everything. We hold on to... Whoa, wait. Test everything. We hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. So test everything. We got to hold on to the good. Hold on to the good. Cling to the good. So how do we test everything? Here's three questions that I made up. Let's. If you don't get them, just say, I don't get it. What are you talking about? Here's the first one. Am I being entertained by sin? Boom, right there. Is this article, is this book, is this music, is this wrong to God? Am I being entertained by sin? Am I being entertained by sin? And it may be something that you've done your whole life or most of your life, or it may be something that you've done since you were a teenager and you think it's okay and you're like, I'm cool with that. I've done that. It hasn't affected me. Let me tell you, it's affected you whether you know it or not. What we watch, what we do, what we see, it affects us tremendously. So am I being entertained by sin? Very, very important question. And I don't know why we don't ask that question when we're about to press play on the Wii system, when we're going to watch a Netflix movie or whatever it is, when we're about to look at something online. Maybe it's a tweet someone sent, and someone sent something on Twitter, and we read it, and we keep reading this stuff, and we're like, yeah, that's pretty funny. But I'll tell you this, if I were to say a really funny racial joke right now, would you may laugh at it, but would that be appropriate? If I drop the F-bomb right now, 91 times, would that be appropriate? But yet we sit and watch a movie, and we don't even think anything of it. If I dropped the F-bomb once, I think half of you would never come back. Yet we sit and we watch movies, and we talk like that, and we entertain that stuff. Next week, we're going to talk about toxic relationships. And some of us are so embedded in toxic relationships that they're completely hindering us from all that God has for us. And am I being entertained by sin? The second question, is it pleasing to God? Is what I'm doing pleasing to God? Is God like, man, Colby, right on, man. I'll tell you, he doesn't say that all the time with me. Maybe he does with you. I think sometimes God's like, what are you doing, dummy? I had that for you and you did that. What happened there? But you know what? What is so incredible is we have a God who's a God filled with grace. You know what grace is? I say this to you a lot. God's reward at Christ's expense. And grace is unmerited favor. Like, we don't deserve God's grace and forgiveness and all that, but he forgives. He loves. He has this unconditional love for you and me. And it's poured out upon us. Wow. So ask these questions. Am I being entertained by sin? Is it pleasing to God? Does this lure me away from Christ? Does it lure me away? Is it going to pull me away from Christ? Or am I going to be edified and move toward Christ? I'm not saying, I'm not saying don't watch anything beyond PG-13. And PG-13 is kind of heavy. Don't watch any R-rated movies. You know, I'm going to tell you, there's some G-rated movies that I won't let my kids watch and I won't watch because of some of the stuff in them. Like, I sit and I watch movies with my kids if I have time. And Stacy does. We don't let them watch things that we don't watch in advance. And that's part of parenting. And some of you say, that's extreme. That's crazy. And you may argue with me and say, that doesn't make any sense. How dare you say that? And you're like, he's being legalistic. That's not right. I'm not. I want to tell you this, that you can do, you have freedom in Christ. You have freedom. Yet there are also parameters. Like, these are very important questions. Am I entertaining sin? Is it pleasing to God? And does it lure me away from Christ? Does it? Is it? If we actually ponder these questions and look at our lives, I think we'll see things we don't want to see. And there's things in our lives that we're just pouring toxic junk, more poison into our systems. And it's hindering our soul. Yeah, maybe it's hindering our body, but it's hindering our soul. The question is, what are we going to do? How do we respond to this message? Do we respond in anger and say, I'll never go back to that church? That message, I can't believe he preached like that. How dare he? Well, sometimes as the pastor, I'm going to nudge you and say, hey, wake up. You know, like sheep, like you got to nudge a sheep that way. Hey, go that way. You're going to get, a wolf's going to devour you over there. Or sometimes I'm going to pour out love to you and say, oh, this is, and you'll be really encouraged. And other times you're like, that message really ticked me off. You know what? I'm okay with that. Toxic, protect yourself. We need to protect ourselves. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, so many times we wrestle with so much stuff. And Lord, I ask, oh God, I ask, Lord, that you will purify our hearts, purify our minds. Lord, cleanse us, renew us, restore us, God. Lord, allow us to confess to you anything or any way that we've fallen short, Lord. And Lord, this poison that goes into our souls. And Father, I ask, God, that you will allow your Spirit to allow us to discern things of you. Lord, some of us are claiming to be Christians, but Lord, things don't bother us, Lord. Things that trouble us don't. And Father, some of us say, well, it bothers my boyfriend or husband, but it doesn't bother me, so I can watch it. And then others of us say, it bothers my wife, but it doesn't bother me, so I can do it. And Lord, convict our hearts. Allow us to realize that it should bother us, even if we say it doesn't. Lord, we're called to a radical faith. We're not called to just be wishy-washy. Father, we may look weird to the society, but weird can be good. Lord, I just ask God that we will truly live in the world and not of it, that we would be people that shine your light into a world that is in darkness. Father, we're no better than anybody else, but God, we're just grateful that it's through your sacrifice, your bloodshed, and your resurrection that we can stand here and sit here today and say that we can live in the freedom of Christ. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
And Lord, we are free. And Lord, allow us to walk in that freedom and to live lives of hope and joy and peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.